The Mourner by Mary Shelley. One fatal remembrance, one sorrow that throws its bleak shade alike o'er our joys and our woes, to which life nothing darker or brighter can bring, for which joy has no balm and affliction no sting. A gorgeous scene of kingly pride is the prospect now before us. The offspring of art, the nursling of nature, where can the eye rest on a landscape more deliciously lovely than the fair expanse of Virginia water, now an open mirror to the sky, now shaded by umbrageous banks which wind into dark recesses or are rounded into soft promontories? Looking down on it, now that the sun is low in the west, the eye is dazzled, the soul oppressed by excess of beauty. Earth, water, air, drink to overflowing the radiance that streams from yonder well of light. The foliage of the trees seems dripping with the golden flood, while the lake, filled with no earthly dew, appears but an imbasining of the sun-tinctured atmosphere, and trees and gay pavilion float in its depth, more clear, more distinct than their twins in the upper air. Nor is the scene silent. Strains more sweet than those that lull Venus to her balmy rest, more inspiring than the song of Tiresias which awoke Alexander to the deed of ruin, more solemn than the chantings of Saint Cecilia, float along the waves and mingle with the lagging breeze which ruffles not the lake. Strange that a few dark scores should be the key to this fountain of sound, the unconscious link between unregarded noise and harmonies which unclose paradise to our entranced senses. The sun touches the extreme boundary, and a softer, milder light mingles a roseate tinge with the fiery glow. Our boat has floated long on the broad expanse. Now let it approach the umbrageous bank. The green tresses of the graceful willow dip into the waters, which are checked by them into a ripple. The startled teal dart from their recess, skimming the waves with splashing wing. The stately swans float onward, while innumerable waterfowl cluster together out of the way of the oars. The twilight is blotted by no dark shades. It is one subdued, equal receding of the great tide of day, which leaves the shingles bare but not deformed. We may disembark and wander yet amid the glades, long before the thickening shadows speak of night. The plantations are formed of every English tree, with an old oak or two standing out in the walks. There the glancing foliage obscures heaven as the silken texture of a veil a woman's lovely features. Beneath such fretwork we may indulge in light-hearted thoughts, or, if sadder meditations lead us to seek darker shades, we may pass the cascade towards the large groves of pine with their vast undergrowth of laurel, reaching up to the Belvedere. Or, on the opposite side of the water, sit under the shadow of the silver-stemmed birch, or beneath the leafy pavilions of those fine old beeches, whose high fantastic roots seemed formed in nature's sport. And the near jungle of sweet-smelling Morica leaves no sense unvisited by pleasant ministration. Now this splendid scene is reserved for the royal possessor, but in past years, while the lodge was called the Regent's Cottage, or before, when the under-ranger inhabited it, the mazy paths of Chapel Wood were open, and the iron gates enclosing the plantations and Virginia water were guarded by no Cerberus untamable by sops. It was here, on a summer's evening, that Horace Neville and his two fair cousins floated idly on the placid lake, in that sweet mood when pleasant thoughts bring sad thoughts to the mind. Neville had been eloquent in praise of English scenery. "In distant climes," he said, "we may find landscapes grand in barbaric wildness, or rich in the luxuriant vegetation of the south, or sublime in alpine magnificence. We may lament, though it is ungrateful to say so on such a night as this, the want of a more genial sky. But where find scenery to be compared to the verdant, well-wooded, well-watered groves of our native land? The clustering cottages, shadowed by fine old elms, each garden blooming with early flowers, each lattice gay with geraniums and roses, the blue-eyed child devouring his white bread.